Contemporary Music Centre podcast series, Composer of the Month for April 2008, Greg Caffrey. CMC now has a MySpace page, so if you have a suggestion for a podcast feature or any comments on any of our other podcasts, just go to myspace.com/CMC Ireland. In part two of this two-part podcast, Greg speaks to Michael Quinn about what inspires his compositions, the use of voice in certain works, working with the Ulster Orchestra on Theophilus in Space, his residency at La Cité Internationale des Arts, Paris.
The trigger is, I mean, it could be lots of things. The trigger might be a performer just simply registering some interest in a piece. It may not be a formal commission as such. I mean, I've heard lots of other composers talk about this kind of thing, but for me, it could possibly come from anywhere, you know. I mean, I swim a lot at the minute, and, you know, I could write a piece this year about swimming, for example, you know. I mean, it doesn't have to be a highbrow subject for me. And in fact, if you look at a lot of the music that I've written, you know, a lot of it's based on, you know, for example, I wrote a chamber orchestra piece, quite a large piece, that lasts about 40 minutes. And it's based on the nonsense poetry of Spike Milligan. I have another set of piano miniatures that's based on a French children's book called Le Petit Nicolas, which is, you know, a hilarious book that French kids would read who are about kind of, I don't know, 12, 13 years old. And the Child's Play pieces as well, you know. So inspiration can come from anywhere. It might come from some lofty subject, but it's more likely to come from some, dare I say it, lower brow subject matter.
And it's interesting, those pieces in Child's Play and in the Spike piece, the series, the way in which you use the voice, so those, it's literally narration.
Reciting.
Mm-hmm. In Spike. The voice becomes an instrument.
Mm.
You know, it's not just a kind of something around which you build.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the voice in Spike was notated. You know, the rhythm was notated. I'm not sure if that really worked terribly well. Again, that's you know, if I was, that's a piece that's never actually been performed. The recording that exists for that was cobbled together by me. This is another story, but it's another aspect of this the DIY nature of what I do. I mean, I needed to have a recording of that piece, and so I got lots of friends together, and you know, people from the Ulster Orchestra gave up their time, and we recorded it. If I was working with an orchestra tomorrow with that piece, you know, I might suggest that the narrator just kind of ad-libs that as much as possible. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier about, you know, there's space in every piece of music, I think, to kind of bend things around at the end, just to make it work. You know, perhaps it'll work the way it's written, but you can make things work better by spending a bit of time and engaging the people who you've got in front of you.
You've had two new works, and two very different works and very different scale as well. One with the Ulster Orchestra, Theophilus in Space,
mm-hmm.
and one for the Smith Quartet,
yeah.
Lapse, which they'll be touring in April. But tell me about the Ulster Orchestra piece, because that was quite a specific commission.
Yeah.
It had to relate to Mozart.
It did, yeah. And it was a very difficult brief. When Simon Taylor from the BBC rang me up initially, I thought, you know, how could I possibly do this? And you know, that would be I imagine it would be difficult for any composer being asked to write something that's supposed to be paired or that's supposed to relate in some way to a Mozart program, Mozart Violin Concerti in this case. And so, I mean, my response to that, I mean, it's the same it's perhaps predictable given what I've already said in this interview. My response was to kind of, you know, it was a light-hearted response. Well, I started to think about what would happen. You know, the Voyager space program sent documents up into outer space. I don't know if you know anything about this, but they actually had a record, or they had a number of records on there, I think, but one of them was the Queen of the Night aria by Mozart. So I invented this fantasy about a fire on board the spacecraft, and, you know, most of the materials were damaged before the ship's mechanisms could extinguish the blaze. And then the spacecraft, as it was moving into, you know, another solar system or something, some nonsense like that, that it was intercepted by extraterrestrial space travellers, and that their musicologists tried to put this together in the way that we would perhaps try to put fragments of some alien music together if we were to uncover it. And then they beamed it back to Earth, and this naive composer picked it up because his satellite dish had been knocked out of kilter the night before by some gale force winds. And then I registered it as my own intellectual property. So this kind of fantasy that I created in order to disguise the fact that I really was never going to be able to write a piece to sit alongside, you know, Mozart concerto. And that was the idea, that was the inspiration. Again, not very highbrow. That's the story behind the piece. To lift the phone again and engage me tomorrow for another piece, and who knows, that might happen. That would be great if it did, because it was quite a short piece. It was only about 5 minutes long in the end. I did get an opportunity to kind of work flexibly with the orchestra as well, because I'd overwritten the piece, and during rehearsals was able to take a whole minute out of the middle of the piece. And the conductor was quite astounded by this. You know, he thought, you know, you know, we can just give us another chance. We can kind of, it didn't sound very good, and he seemed to think that he could work it up. But, you know, as soon as I heard it, I thought, you know, we need to just pull that out. And I went home that night and after the rehearsals and did a few changes and brought the new parts in the next day.
And of course, there's lapse with the Smith Quartet. The experience of working on the scale of a chamber size piece, does that allow you a greater density of expression, or greater intimacy, or how does that affect the process?
I think that you can afford to be more playful in your writing. When you do get into the rehearsal situation, you're dealing with the players on a one-to-one level, you know, first name terms and that kind of thing, whereas obviously when you're dealing with an orchestra, you're working through a conductor, which is a very different experience, and there are much more personalities to negotiate there anyway, so it's a much less flexible medium, obviously. So the quartet medium, or the quintet as it was in this case with Jared on saxophone, is, you know, more flexible in that sense. We didn't spend an awful lot of time working on the piece, but, you know, the Smiths are such a great group that they can kind of put a piece like that together ridiculously quickly anyway.
And a piece that they're returning to now.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're playing it four times on the northern leg of their Irish tour. So that's Oma, Port Stewart, Belfast and Downpatrick.
One of the significant things in career-wise recently was you spent some time in Paris.
Yeah. It was in a place called the Cité Internationale des Arts, which is in the Marais in Paris. And it's a massive residency for artists of all disciplines. In fact, there are I think something like 300 artists in the place at any given time, all with a separate atelier. And it's a brilliant place because you can be living next door to someone who makes films, and on the other side of you you've got perhaps a flute player, and down beneath you you have someone who's does installation work, and so there's great opportunities for interacting with different disciplines, which is something else I'm very interested in. And I was able to work with a lot of different artists over there, particularly a Swedish artist called Helen Norell, who is an abstract artist and does some video work as well. So we were able to work on some video and another large project as well. But I think that the experience of living in Paris for a period of 3 months, it was really quite overwhelming from a creative perspective.